in and out of situations. This tug of war in me. All day long I struggle for the answers that become clear. I can slip away and breathe His name. He will surely meet me there. Oh, with the
so happy to be in the presence again. You know, I missed a couple services, and it feels like forever. And I couldn't even listen to the services because I was kind of out of the country, and I didn't have enough Wi-Fi. I tried, and I just couldn't get it. So I packed it in today, you know. And it was really nice to, you know, have that. You know, I thank you, Praveen, for doing that for us. You know, I appreciate that. But it is not the same. You know, that presence is just, you feel it, you know. What we've been talking about, I get excited. I just want to share a little story.
Okay.
So me and my sister, we went on a cruise, okay? And we were supposed to go the weekend before, and things messed up. And so we get there, and we have to sit at a table with strangers. And who are they but the nicest people ever? And, you know, they touched me so much. And, you know, not that I'm something so special. I just thank God that he used me for them, because her story, she had a rough story. You know, most Christians would look at her a little cross-eyed. You know, me and Johanna just showed her love, and it touched her so much. You know, she was talking about God. You know, I can't help it no matter where I go. It always comes out, you know. And, you know, she has a desire to have a baby. And I don't care about the circumstances. I don't care about how long she's been with this guy. He's a really nice guy. And I just, it touched me so much. I said, God, give her a baby. You know, and I'm speaking it now because I believe it. And also, I've been talking to Jeremiah's mom. And Madison had her baby today, Violet. She was a few complications. You know, she's in the NICU right now, so just pray for that. You know, she asked me to pray, and I never want to not do what they'd asked me to do. You know, and I just am so glad to be home. You know, I also want to give some flowers to my husband.
Amen.
Because, you know, he took care of those kids for me while I was gone. It was nice getting to get out, you know, do something on my own. And I appreciate that so much, because I came home to a clean house, you know what I mean? The kids all did their thing, and I just, you know, I thank God so much for all those little things, because, you know, getting to take somebody you meet on a cruise, and, you know, a wonderful husband, those are just those benefits that come with the word, you know. I thank God so much, and I was thinking, you said something about being a prisoner, and, you know, I'm a prisoner, but this is not a hard place to be a prisoner. It's like the most pampered prisoner you can imagine. I mean, I have so many benefits and blessings. And it's so easy when you know, it just, you can't help it.
That's right.
You know, like I think it was Cain and Abel. Can't help it. Abel couldn't help but do what he was supposed to do.
Amen.
And Cain couldn't help but not do it. That's and I right. thank God Amen. So much that he put that seed in me, and that I have that. And it's just, you know, I just wanted to come and thank God one more time, because that's all I'm here to do.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm thankful to be here. Let's sing Can't You See Why I'm Happy, page 97. Key of C. Announcements out of the way. This Saturday, 9 a.m., we've got the Brothers Breakfast. I'm going to try to pop in between work if I can get away.
God bless.
I really don't want to miss that. And then the following Saturday at the main house, got the Sisters Breakfast at 10 a.m.
That's right.
I'm just very, very grateful to be here. So grateful. I love the worship you started, Brother Moore. That just means so much to me. And I was thinking about what you said about that brother that watches our services and that we testify. And I thought, what a responsibility we have to show that we are taking this word in. And it means the world to us.
Amen.
And I just want to give praise for this. I thank God for it. I thank God for everything he's brought me through.
Amen.
Thank God for that wonderful man up there. Thank God for good health and strength.
Yes,
and I just love this word, and I can't wait to be preached some more, because I know, I was telling Brother Moore today, I'm so thankful, because what he's preaching is he's going to preach the rapture just one time, and then that Holy Ghost is going to move in on that quickening power, and I'm going to be changed in the
moment,
the twinkling of an eye. And I'm so excited about what we're getting.
Amen.
Amen.
I was listening to the deacons talking outside, and then I had a slightly off-the-wall thought that just bounced off what they said. When Brother Branham told the church, you know, come out of her, that's not much different than Moses bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. And everyone was expecting to go into the promised land really soon. But they did lots of laps around Sinai. And Brother Branham's been gone for a while, and we've done lots of laps around Sinai. But that just let me know, with each lap, we're really close.
Amen.
Because what was it? Two that came out of Egypt that was allowed to go in? And God likes to use types and shadows. That just lets me know that we're close.
Amen.
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 Don't be nervous. This is just for your protection, so I won't spread any germs. But I just wanted to thank God for being back in the house.
Amen.
Amen.
And I've been reflecting on the last few messages. And let me see if I can get my thoughts out.
Amen.
So there's a couple things that the pastor says as far as getting to the house. And it's in God's time, not our time.
That's right.
And then you talked about that quickening Holy Ghost power.
Yeah.
That's what it takes. And when he wants to give you another revelation, he will quicken it.
Amen.
And so it doesn't matter how long you're here.
Amen.
And I've heard the years and the yielding.
Yes.
And I'm just thankful that when God gave me my first revelation, that he put it in me to come back.
That's right.
And wait for him to give me another.
That's right.
Because it's getting clearer and clearer every
Amen.
Time I come to this word.
That's how it works.
And I really hate missing, but I am thankful for the videotape. But I just am glad to be here.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sing We Are Going to See the King, page 113. I'm not sure the key.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see.
Amen.
I'm just thankful tonight. I'll take the mic if no one's coming up. I just look around tonight, and I'm so thankful for real friends.
Amen.
You know, I've got friends out in the world, but I don't identify with them like I do with people in here.
That's right.
Every single person here I love hanging out with.
Amen.
We can identify with the word, and life, and everything.
Amen.
You know, I disagree with some of my friends out there, and they have their place, though. They'll
right,
be there,
right.
And
we
I'm thankful for that,
on it all.
And looking forward to hearing Jay
Amen.
Tonight.
Amen.
Go ahead.
This word and this house of refuge and all that he has done for me, answering prayers and keeping me at my job. And
we serve a real God.
Amen. We serve a real God, and he takes care of everything. But one thing I want to thank God about, something I've been praying on and off about, and it's all in God's timing. And I've seen the situation, and that's the reason I prayed the way I did. But Brian, my son, got custody of his oldest daughter this past week.
All right. I'm
very happy about that.
Amen.
She's in a better situation. And I just praise God. And I thank God so much for this place, this word, our powerful preachers.
That's right.
That submit and
ministry,
let God speak through them. And it's just a wonderful thing to know what we have. And I'm looking forward to the word.
Yes.
Amen. I think we just kind of really, really spoiled, but I'm sure enjoying it. I'm talking about the most powerful preachers. I never heard the like. And, you know, to be blessed to have sit under a perfect ministry for so long, I sure appreciate it. You know, I've seen it progress. And progress and progress. From when you look back, you'd be almost embarrassed, you know. But to see where it's come to today, to a real understanding, a real revelation, you know, it's, you know, think about that individual walk with God, you know, that we each one have that individual walk with God. You know, and let's think about, you know, how that he deals with each member of his bride the way he sees fit, you know, and it's guaranteed not to be the same. And, but yet the revelation is the same, but yet our love for him is the same, but yet his love for us is the same,
right.
You know, and he'll lead us and guide us to do exactly what he needs. And, you know, in this day, that's getting the dead up. And Brother Moore preaching on the body changer Sunday, I was fully enjoying that. You know, more and more you look around and you think, I got no reason to want to stay here anymore. This place is beyond crazy.
Amen.
And just corrupt as corrupt can be, you know. And you know, like I said Sunday night, you know, he's pulled that light back.
Yeah.
And, you know, that seventh day has got no light.
No,
so, you know, it's nothing but darkness, gross darkness.
Amen.
Upon the people, you know, the Bible says. So I'm ready to go home.
Yes.
I really am. You know, I got potatoes planted, but that's all right. Devil can have those. Devil can have everything I got, you know. He can squander it, do what he wants. You know, I've got rewards over there that I could never even fathom.
That's right.
And so I'm thankful to be in this position. I'm thankful to know that I don't have to please anybody but him.
Amen.
You know, and I please him all the time.
Amen.
Because I receive his word, his gifts come forth, and proof of it is he quickens to me.
Amen.
Every time it comes forth, it ties with my revelation, builds upon my revelation.
That's right.
And I appreciate that. You know, I think as, Amen. You know, a young chick in the nest, you know, when first born, got all that, those feathers and all that lamb's wool and everything. It's not ready for him to fly just yet, but he gets pulling all that out, and it gets kind of poking at him, and they get out the nest. And I think as you go along, you know, in life, and nature testifies of it, you know, you get stronger and stronger because there's more and more of a need.
Amen.
You know, the devils, I think when you first come to this, Satan just sticks a couple devils on you. The time you've been here for a while, he's got the whole troop on you. But you know, but yet your understanding, your revelation gets stronger.
Amen.
You know, I know that the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life will never leave until I get a body change.
Amen.
And that revelation that keeps coming, every time I hear the word preached, that will never stop either until I get a body change.
Amen.
And then we'll learn even on the other side. So I love this walk. I'm thankful to be where I'm at. I'm in a good place. And I'm at rest. I have a peace. I don't have to say anything, but I got a whole lot to say.
Amen.
I don't have to do anything, but I got a whole lot to do. You know, Lord, whatever you want. You know, whatever God wants for me, that's what I want.
Amen.
If I got to work the last day I'm here and struggle, praise God, it'd be worth it all.
Amen.
If I can retire and get to rock for a little bit, as Brother Childers called it, then praise God for that.
Amen.
You know, he's got it, and I'm thankful for that. You know, we was talking about the correction and the teaching, you know, and it talked about how our earthly fathers, you know, corrected us, you know, after their own desires, you know.
Right.
But he for our good. Yeah. Every correction, every teaching comes for our good, to draw us closer, to help us stand stronger, to help us to you know, be more what he'd want us to be.
Amen.
So I'm open for it. Lord, whatever you got, I have learned to just take it all.
Amen.
And say, Lord, because every time I come here, I mean, you think, you know, I've been here so long, know so much and all that. That's nothing. Because I'm here to learn what he's got today.
Right.
And I'm just as thirsty for what he's got today as anybody else.
Amen.
I've got to have what he's got for me today.
Amen.
You know, give us this day our daily bread.
Right.
You know, the rest of it's good, you know, and all that, and ties together, but it's old manna.
Amen.
You know,
the
truth
right.
of it. You know, I don't want to talk about Noah anymore. We'll talk about this day.
Amen.
Talk about this body change that is right ahead of us, you
Amen.
Know.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether my heart wants it, whether my flesh wants it, or it's coming. And by revelation, I know that.
Amen.
So I'm thankful, so thankful for something that never changes, never falters, you know, no shadow of turning in him, no shadow in him. So I'm thankful to be in pure light.
Amen.
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 I just wanted to say I'm thankful to be in the house one more time. It's nothing like being here, and we all know that. And it's been an amazing time for me, because I'm learning to listen when God speaks a little better. And I say that because what I find is when I re-listen to services, it's not because of, you know, it's old manna per se, but it's because I literally somehow didn't hear it the first time. And I notice when I have an issue in my life that, and I didn't listen to what God spoke, when I re-listen to it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I do. And it saved me a lot of askance of other people, like, hey, you know, why am I on fire? What's going on? And I really appreciate the preaching, and I really appreciate being able to be here to hear the word firsthand.
Amen. Let's sing 117, feeling so much better.
Feeling so much better.
So let's go on, let's go on, talking about this good, oh, let's go on, let's go on talking about the Lord. You know I'm feeling. Talking about this, you know I'm feeling so much better when I'm talking about the Lord. So let's go on talking about this good. Oh, let's go on, let's go on talking about the Lord. That old devil, he don't like it. Talking about this good. That old devil, he don't like it when I'm talking about the Lord. So let's go on talking about this good. Oh, let's go on, let's go on. One last time, that old devil, that old devil, he don't like it. Talking about it, you know the devil, he don't like it when I'm talking. So what am I gonna do? So let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord.
Amen, amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together tonight. Thank you for blessing us with the songs. Thank you for blessing us with the testimonies. Lord, remember the prayer requests that went out there and the statements and the declarations that the bride has made. We understand that healing is just children's bread. And you said, bind what you will and loose what you will. Lord, that's what we've asked. Now tonight in the service, Lord, help move the hearing or speaker out of the way. Remove any type of distractions and let us just be able to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. Lord, I'm never going to be satisfied until I wake in your likeness, Lord. So we're going to continue in our prayers and continue pushing this thing forward and bless the service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Appreciate it. The testimonies. I really enjoyed them. I can see how the brother from overseas can listen in and be turned on by it. And even when he met Pastor Moore, didn't know who he was, but now he's a celebrity. And see, I could see how that would happen. I've seen the Word of God do that the right way. You know, the man does it a different way, but I've seen it where you say, you know, this is, you know, like the disciple said, where else could I go? Who else has the words of eternal life? You know, that's a different kind of celebrity. You think about, you know, we've come to this church and we get the benefits of somebody being able to talk directly to you with the Word of God and give you an answer from God when the rest of the world is hoping and groping and praying and maybe and this. Even people that are, they're claiming to be Christians don't even know how to get a hold of God, but you have the freedom, the privilege, and the expectation. You expect God to speak to you every single time. There is not one time that I'm speaking and I think, well, do you hear me, Lord? There's not one request that I'm thinking is going out that God doesn't know about. As a matter of fact, he said, I heard the cries of my people. Yeah. My people. All of his people. That's who God hears the cries of. Oh, my, my, my. So we're a blessed group. You know, Pastor Moore was preaching, and I really appreciated the preaching because God manifesting himself in revelation. You know, we're blessed. You know, Pastor Moore was reading over in Ephesians and talking about Paul being the prisoner. And Lise even talked about how we got the best benefits of everything. We do. We really do. But, I mean, I love to look at it because everything we have a balance on both sides of it. You know, so I can say I'm a prisoner, and I can say I'm free.
And then you, well, which one is it? Well, both of them. Both of them. I'm free from the law of sin and death. So as soon as you start trying to apply that to me, I'll let you know I'm free. I'll scream it out. You ain't got no strings on me on that. But I'm a prisoner to the word of God. I do all that please the Father. It's not my will but thine. There's both sides to that, and we get it, and we got a balance on it. But I look at that, and I thought, my goodness, and I even loved how Pastor Moore even talked about, you know, the prisoner and recognizing each other. You know, you're eating at the same place I'm eating. We're getting the same food together. You know, we're dressed together. We're congregating together. You know, a lot of times, you know, and Pastor Moore even mentioned it, and I'll get started here. He said, you know, there's people that come and visit. Yeah, you're visiting. You really don't even know what we got. You're just coming through. The privileges that we have, you don't even know. The benefits that I got, you don't even know. You may hear about what I'm eating on. You may see some of the benefits of what's going on, but if you're just visiting, you really don't even, you don't even get to partake of it, really. Because once this thing gets real on the real, there's no leaving. There's no separation from this thing. So I praise God for that. You know, and I thought about that, and the more I was thinking about Paul, and I was just, I can't claim to know a lot about the Bible. You know, I've been studying for the last couple of years on this thing and looking at it, but the more I look at certain types, it just gets me turned on when I think about how Paul, prisoner, but Paul had the revelation of the hour. Right. And here's the other thing. Paul had the revelation of the hour and never walked with Jesus. So walking with the literal Jesus wasn't what were prerequisite to having the revelation of the hour. That's why Jesus could even say, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You could be walking with Christ every day and God, it still not be revealed to you. We've seen people walk with Brother Branham and it still not be revealed to them. I've seen people snuggle up and sit as close as they can to Brother Childers and it still not be revealed to them. You can make best of buddies with Pastor Moore and it still will not be revealed to you. Amen. You need God himself to give you that revelation. And then when that happens, nobody can take it away. If you and Pastor fall out as friends, that revelation still is the same. If you and Brother Childers fall out as friends, that revelation is still the same. If Brother Branham steps off the scene and is not here anymore, that revelation is still the same. See, I can't tie it into any flesh that any man could boast. Now, and then on one side, like I said, the balance. On one side of it, I need flesh to give me that. Yes. I need flesh to preach that to me. See, and I love that God's word doesn't contradict himself. See, because there's things, and I'm going to get started here in a second. But I see people that the word of God, they tell me something that God said, and it contradicts what God told me. Right. It contradicts what God preaches. Right. And I go, well, maybe you need to drop that word. If God tells you to get to the house, that's the word of God. Right. Just agree with it. If you're late, you're just late. If you don't make it, you just don't make it. That doesn't change what God's word said. I see a lot of times people try to give excuses, try to give rationale. Don't put your thought on it at all. That's where you get in trouble. I've seen people do that in marriages. I've seen people do that with kids, and they try to put their own interpretation on the word of God. It needs no interpreter. The word of God vindicates itself by bringing it to pass. God needs no interpreter in this hour. Oh, and I get it. And that's why I said I know both sides of it. God can tell you something. And he can tell me to do something. That's God telling us both. That's not you putting your own interpretation on it. See, you put that fine line in there. God told you, and God tells me. That's God telling us. But if you take the word of God and think about what God is trying to tell you, if you take the word of God and rationalize, it doesn't work. You can't hold on to that. You got to understand the revelation of the hour. And the revelation of the hour is that God speaks in flesh. You can't get this from reading. You can't get this from studying. You know, when they say you can't get this from reading and you can't get it from studying, that removes 99% of the people that claim they got a revelation. Because people will claim they have a revelation of the hour, and it doesn't tie into what God's job is. It's got to tie with what God is doing right now. If your revelation tells you to build an ark, you didn't hear from God. If your revelation tells you to go to free the children from Egypt, that's not the word of God. You're on the wrong day. You got to have a revelation for this hour and the day that you live in. You have to have a clear understanding on this revelation right now. That's the only way you're going to be able to hear from God.
That's right.
So let me read a scripture, because Pastor Moore was reading over in Ephesians 3 and 2 through 5. He read through there, and I loved it. And it got me thinking about it, and I started looking through there, and I thought, man, praise God that we have a revelation of the hour, and that, you know, all the other things that the church world tries to put on it. You should have walked with Brother Branham. He should have prayed for you. Should have did this. And, you know, there's, you know, we talk about Brother Childers being a great, great man. And there's some people that get hung up on, well, if I'd have just got a chance to sit under Brother Childers, I would have. No. You're under the Word of God right now. Amen. You've got everything you need right now. I don't need Jesus to come back. I don't need Brother Branham to come back. I don't need Brother Childers to come back. I got the Word of God right now. Yeah. My God is a progressive God. Matter of fact, we even read before where he said, even if you come rise up from the dead, it wouldn't save one more person. Right. I got the Word of God right now. Praise God for that. Don't think about all these other things about what it could have been, should have been. You got God on your hands right now. Praise God for that right now. I don't have to look for, you know what? Even the Word of God says, take no thought of tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. Take you this day, this daily bread that he's serving right now. Oh, my, we get so much good word. Well, he was talking about that, and I'm going to read over here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. And it said, this just kind of hit home to me. It says, wherefore I was made a minister. And I can identify with that scripture. I was made a minister. I didn't fill out any resume. I didn't apply for this job. Didn't want this job. I was happy with my other job, whatever that was. I was happy with that. So I saw that and I thought, man, I can agree with you, Paul. And you know, and side note, Pastor Moore did mention this Sunday that he's looking for ministers. I didn't let that slide by. He said that. He said that. And then, you know, you think about even ministering. It's gonna happen. You know, that God's got to fulfill that. Just like when we didn't know, when God said, you know, it's time to move forward, he didn't know what that meant. When God says need a minister, I don't know what that means. It could be all these other things. I don't know what God, he's going to bring it to pass. I don't have to put my thought on it. I ain't got to look over here and go, well, maybe AJ's reading the Bible to Kara, and maybe he's getting ready. Maybe Skylar's transitioning from song leader. I don't got to put my thought on it. I ain't got to rationalize it. I ain't got to make it up. Because when God brings it to pass, it'll be just crystal clear like everything else that he's already brought to pass. Matter of fact, I can look at my own life and go, you didn't think I'd be here. You didn't think I'd have it like this. You didn't think I'd be able to bring it word upon word, precept upon precept like this. You had no clue. Matter of fact, I had no clue. So if I put my thought on it, I wouldn't be standing here right now. So don't put your thought on what God said he's going to do. Let him bring it to pass. So I read that and I thought, praise God for Paul seeing that. According to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. This is God's power. Unto me who am less than the least of the saints. See, I'm humble. That's real humility. That's real humility. That's not this fake stuff that the church world throws out there. Turn the other cheek, do this, do that. No, I'm really humble because I realized that God had to give this to me. I didn't make this up. I didn't bring this up. I didn't study it. You can't study it up. This has got to be a revelation. And you know how hard it is to preach to believers? They know when you're off. You're talking to some people that are seasoned believers in here. You got somebody like Brother Lockett or Brother John that said, I've been sitting here 20 years. They've been hearing it right for 20 years. And you're going to get up here with some half-cocked message? It won't work. You better be bringing the real. You better be bringing it word upon word, or else it'll get silent on you. It'll get quiet on you, because we're serving believers in here. I praise God it's believers here. And that means it's got to be hot. Believers only want it hot. Because you know what? No matter how hot the word gets, the believer's only going to be able to say amen. There's not going to be a word. See, when you're talking to believers, that's all I got. Sister Elise brought that message. She talked about Cain and Abel and said, you know, hey, when the word got presented to Abel, he couldn't do nothing but say amen. But when it got to Cain, it was nothing in him that could say amen. It was nothing there. So when I'm talking to somebody and I'm bringing word upon word and I know it's the truth, if it doesn't resonate in you, I don't think I got the problem. I know you don't have the word in you. Oh, my. You got to have the revelation for the hour to even be able to pick up what we're putting down right now. Because justification ain't enough right now. That's not the job we're doing right now. Sanctification ain't the job that we're doing right now. Pentecostal's not the job that we're doing right now. You got to be talking about the rapture or else it ain't your job. Oh, my. My son Jonathan, we were doing something. He had this big imagination as a kid. And he was like, I'm going to make this game for you, Mom. I'm going to do this. And he said, you got to guess where this ball is at under the cup. And you pick the cup up, and he'd go, that's wrong, this is wrong. That's how I feel when the church world tries to put stuff on me. Oh, your job now is to go stop abortion clinics. That's not my job. That's not my job. Your job is to grow the church. That's not my job. Your job is to go save a bunch of souls. That's not my job. My job is to get out of here. You don't know what hour you're living in if you're still trying to grow the church. You don't know that God's left the church. He said, come out of her, my people. It's time to go home and get out of here. And matter of fact, don't even over-spiritualize it. I'm going to a real wedding supper. I serve a real God that's going to serve me real food. See, I don't even have to overthink that. I don't care what the menus. I'm glad I'm on the invitation list. I'm glad I'm going to be there. See, this church world thinks about everything that don't matter. Let's keep reading. Unto me who am less than the least of all the saints, this is grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid. In God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers of heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We now know it according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus did his job. Amen. We're doing our job. We're the bride of the Christ. I even like to say it like that. We're in the feminine. He did his job. He prepared a place. He's a good man. He prepared a place, laid the table, set it up, got everything to our liking. Now, as the feminine, we've got to do our job. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. And I love how you even tied that in there. It's the entire bride of Jesus Christ. That's how God sees us, as a complete unit. God doesn't see the brain. He sees the whole body. God doesn't want just an eye. He sees the whole body. Even Brother Branham said he wouldn't want to marry a woman with one breast. He said, I want the whole body. He doesn't see me as just a single individual. He sees the whole body. When you get this revelation as an individual, it ties you into the body. And everything should tie together. I shouldn't discount sanctification because I'm tied into it. I don't discount justification because I'm tied into it. I don't even count restoration of the gift because I'm tied into it. So everything has to run. The revelation that you get needs to run with the entire body. Amen. Or else it's a cancer. Amen. Oh, my. God gives it to us. He makes it so easy. He does make it so easy. And I love that God is continually building this body. Because even to say the revelation of the hour, you got to know that there's hours. You got to know that there's times. There's a season for this, a season for that, season for these things. To say the revelation of the hour, that means you got to understand that God's clock has been ticking. There's been some time going on here. Now, we step into eternity. When we start talking about the Word of God, we step into eternity. But while we're here, there's some things that have to happen. There's things that's going on. God's message has progressed, and God even makes us progress. You know, Brother Don, you mentioned it, and it got me thinking. This ministry's progressed. It had to. It had to. If I was preaching to you 1953 messages, you wouldn't be able to get through 2023. You'd be a wreck. You'd be confused. You'd be stifled. And Satan, he would only need those two demons to get you. He wouldn't need 2 million. Because you'd be all over the place. You'd be messed up. You'd be messed up on race relations, like Brother Kevin was saying. You'd be messed up on political issues because you wouldn't know what's going on. You'd be shooting TVs and you'd be deaf to iPads, and your kids wouldn't be able to go to school. You'd be homeschooling because you'd be afraid. You'd have to live out somewhere where you didn't meet people. You'd be a hothouse plant. You'd have to break yourself away from the world because even just regular restaurants would be too much for you to handle. You see it all the time. You see those really, really church people that can't even handle a Frisch's. Why? Because they're a hothouse plant. The message hasn't progressed. They haven't been able to eat this good food to get stronger. You should be getting stronger as this thing goes on. I know every man I meet, and it doesn't even bother me. I can create environments wherever I go. It doesn't bother me. Why? Because I'm strong. I'm not weak. I'm not some hothouse plant that's tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine. Somebody comes in with a hair like this, and it throws me off. Somebody wearing something, it throws me off. Somebody says something just not right, throws me off. Somebody preaches something just not right, throws me off. That's not me. can't. That's not how I roll. I got the word of God that gets preached to me every single service. I'm stronger today than I was 20 years ago. And it's reflected. When I encounter the same problems that I had 20 years ago, I should be able to step right over them like they're not even there. Oh, no problem. You see a couple that's been married 3 days, oh man, having low gas will mess them up. They'll go, man, we don't have enough gas in the car. We're going to be able to make it home. It'll start an argument. But you've been married 20 years, you'll be like, nah, babe, I've got it. This car's going to make it. I've been riding this thing for a little while, and if we got to walk, we'll enjoy it together. That's the couple that's been seasoned a little bit, up the road a little bit. 3 days in, you don't know what it is. You 3 days into the church, you figure it out. Where should I sit? Who should I sing? How should I? But you get in here long enough, you're like, Brother Don, I don't care if a song's going on. If I got to give a testimony, I'm going to go ahead and let y'all hear what I got to say. Brother Lockett, if I just say, hey, the last person, Brother Lockett, that was the last person. Now I got something else to say. Why? I don't know when I'm going to get another chance. This might be my last service. I'm trying to get out of here. I'm not trying to build a church. I'm not trying to build a name. I want people around the world to know that this is the right thing, and it's my life. This is my life. I got a revelation that was hid before the foundation of the world. They didn't know what it was. God's revelation was moving age through age through age through age. His quickness power was coming down through age through age through age, and people didn't know it. You come now to the place where we know it, and you want me to be quiet? Sorry. These dry bones are going to speak now. Oh, I got a revelation of the hour. I know what it is. No, through every age, they just groped at it, didn't even know it. And I like to say it like this, too, because when we looked at this, Pastor Moore, you even brightened it up for me. You're talking about that quickening power. It quickened whatever word was. And when we looked at it like people, how I looked at it, I was like, oh, they were in darkness. No, they had light. The believers had light. They weren't in darkness. Just like when you look at the last age, it's total darkness, but I'm in light. I'm not in darkness. I'm not confused. I'm not taken aback. I'm not thrown out. I'm full light. God's quickening power is on the full word right now. And what should happen when you got the full word of God, the full quickening power is available, giving you access to the rapturing faith. Amen. Which Pastor Moore even said, faith, revelation. It gives you rapturing revelation now. Amen. So the revelation of the hour right now is the rapture. Amen. That's what we're talking about. That's every message. Amen. That's every title. Amen. Why? Because that's what my job is. Amen. There wasn't a day when Noah was building an ark that didn't matter that ark. He was worried about that ark every time. Until the ark was finished, Noah was worried about the day or night. He was every day. Every day. Until it gets finished. Guess what? I'm not satisfied. Until I wake in his likeness, until I put down these two bad rims and pick up the other one, I won't be satisfied until I get my glorified. I'm going to talk about it every day. I won't be satisfied until I get out of here. Until I get my theophany, my glorified, and I'm three, I will not be satisfied. If I was to die before you guys, before the rapture, I will not be satisfied with my theophany. They're not satisfied with their theophany. They're ready to get out of that.
That's right.
Now, I know we put our own thoughts on it because we got a spiritual mind and we're carnal, so to speak, here. So we go unsatisfied, not happy, and that's not what I mean. The Bible says, I won't be satisfied till I wake in his likeness. That's the scripture says. I won't stop, meaning I won't stop. I won't settle. See, the church world is settled. They settle for this, settle for that. I'm not settling for anything. I won't take back for anything that Satan tries to put on me. He tries to put this on you, put that. I will not settle for less than what God has promised me. He promised me an understanding. I'm going to hold him to it. You know, you can even think about even having a revelation. You go, oh, how do I know I have one? How do I know it's happened? They're telling me I should be born again. I should be having this. I should be having that. See, we could talk about a birth. Sister Elise said it. She said, I'm speaking the baby in there. There's stages to it. Even on Sunday night, we talked about stages to a birth. There's stages all the way around, and there's a lot of types there, but we'll talk about a couple of them. The most important one, though, is that seed has got to get germinated.
Amen.
That's the first stage.
Amen.
Once that happens, then the rest of the process has to happen. You got to let that happen. That other process has to happen. How long it takes, whatever it is, that's got to happen. But when that birth happens, the birth, that can happen in 1 second. You've seen people say, oh, we're in labor. Wait, we had the baby. Or they can be, we're in labor. We're still in labor. 3 days later, 4 days later. That part of it. But see, the church world, they mess up. They try to mess up during the germicide. When it comes to when that seed's trying to get germicized, they start messing it up. They give it the bad food. And they start getting these birth defects that start coming in there. Because they don't give it what it needs. They don't give it the nutrients that it needs to grow. They the word. You need the word on top of word, on top of word, on top of word. That's what you need. That's what even waters that seed. That's what gets you to where then you start realizing, and that word's been just preached to you. You go, that is nothing but the truth.
Amen.
And you go, well, do I need to know this? Do I need to know that? And then there's an internal conversation that happens with you. See, I'm just talking about what happened to me. There's an internal conversation where you just look at it and go, I just believe it. And you go, well, can you explain it? They never said I had to. Well, do you know where all the scriptures are? In the Bible. Do you know all the message books? I got Google. Do you know what, do you know why, do you know this happened? Do you know what happened on Sunset Mount? You know how long it was there? Do you have the page in Life magazine to go to here? Do you know that? Listen, I'm like Paul, I didn't walk with Brother Branham. Sorry, but that doesn't exclude me from having a revelation. I've got the revelation of the hour right now, and I might be able to. Now, you know what happened with Paul? He was so revelated, he was so enthused but turned on. They said, Paul, you speak things that are hard to pick up, but it's the truth. That's how I'm speaking now, right now, with the boldness that we have, with the authority that we have. They're saying, my, how you, some young man, didn't walk with Brother Branham, didn't preach beside Brother Childers in the Philippines, didn't go here. How are you able to speak things that are hard for those other Christians to understand? Why? Because I've been walking in the light every time God gives it. I just picked it up, and that revelation builds on it, and it builds on it. You get a clear understanding on just one thing. You don't worry about anything else. If you never get another revelation, just stand on that. You've got enough for the journey. And don't let Satan doubt put nothing in your mind ever again. Oh, I'm going to read this quote over here. Brother Branham said, lean not onto your understanding. He was talking about this quote, and I'm going to read it because it applies right here. And they were talking to Brother Branham. I'm like, Brother Branham, how are you going to be able to do this? How are you going to be able to do that? This is those who lean not to understand. He said, how can you, not even a grammar school education, preach around the world? How can you ever pray for kings and potentates, and you can't even use your grammar right? Here, Brother Branham said, I wasn't trusting in my grammar. I wasn't trusting in my ability. All I had was a commission. Hallelujah. God told me. God said it. I don't have to trust in my ability. I'm not trusting in my grammar. I'm not trusting in my memory. I'm not trusting in my excellence of speech. God gave me a commission. God told me to do this job. So whatever he's got to move to make that work, that's on him. He'll do it. He just told me to take another step and take another step. Matter of fact, man, that's what happened to those people in the upper room. They said, didn't he say that he would meet us here? I started looking around and said, that's what he said. He said he would meet us here. If we met these conditions, if we got here, he'd meet us here. Oh, my. That's what happens when you take the word of God. Let's say God tells you to get baptized. Get baptized. He said he'd meet me there. I believe him. Get out of there and go, well, I don't feel like I have a better understanding of this and that. Maybe I need to get baptized again. Mm-mm. Don't rush it. Leave it alone. It could happen that service. It could happen that night. It could happen the next service. Don't even put your thought on it. Don't put your thought on it at all. Trust God for what he said. He said, sit and listen. Take him at his word. Just take him at his word. Oh, you don't have to be like somebody on a road trip that's terrible. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Don't be annoying. Just sit and enjoy. Tarry a little bit. You're in wait. Wait on what God's giving you. Enjoy these benefits that you're surrounded with. You got some good friends that's going to walk you along the way. You got some good brothers and sisters that are going to help carry you along the way. You're getting some life advice. You're getting some guidance. You're getting some peace of mind all along the way. Those are just extra benefits. That's not even why I'm here. I'm not here for a good job. Because if that goes away, I'm still going to have to be here. I'm not here for a good family, which I love that I have. I'm not here for a good wife, which I love that I have. That's not why I'm here. I'm here for the word of God. That's the denominator that we all have. That's what makes our friendship different, Brother Skyler, than any other friendship. It's because the word of God is what ties us. Whether he votes how I vote, looks how I look, the word of God is what keeps us together. That's why I can't even be out too long with my buddy. I got to say, if I'm wrong, or you're wrong, we got to turn around quickly, because we still got to serve God together. You're still my brother or sister. We still got to get this thing together. We still got a job to do. Oh, my, my, my. That's the end of all arguments. You still believe the report? Yes, I do. You going to be at church? Yes, I will. See you there. That's how this thing should work. Oh, my, my, my. But the stages of the birth, they're talking about that, and I loved it, because it's so right that the church world messes it up. We have it perfect. Church world tries to add this thought on it. We have it right. And I look at all the things that we get here. I was even telling Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah, I thought, man, it's easy sometimes in my flesh to just go, man, I got the best church there is. Y'all ain't nobody got it good as I got it. Right? Because I hear other churches and I hear other things that they got to go through, even just on the radio. Not even going to say anybody's church. Just on the radio, I see what these people that just sincerely want to love God. They'll go to a mega church and just want to love God, but just able to eat anything. They're able to sit there and just eat anything. And I go, man, you just got to go to Fairborn or you don't got it. You know, that's, I can get in myself on that. But, you know, because that was what happened. You know, people were saying that even to Brother Branham, like, well, Brother Branham, we got to go to Arizona. We got to be where you're at. And he's like, nah, that's not how that you're putting the creed on it. You're putting your thought on it. Just believe the word of God. Wherever it's at, you just accept the word of God. If God is in the Philippines, praise God for the Philippines. Don't think you got to get over to the United States to come to Fairborn and serve God in this church. It won't even do you any good because you're coming under the wrong pretense. Right. Serve God wherever he is. Amen. Trust God just like you trust him for everything else. You trust him for the revelation. You trust him for revealing it. Trust God that God's going to take care of you. Amen. You say, Lord, I'm a believer. You got to take care of me. I want the word. You got to feed me. He said, my children won't go hungry for bread, begging for bread. And then people put that on, oh, soup line or this and that. No, that means as a believer, he's obligated to feed me the word. That's the bread that I got to eat. That's why he says, that's why we sing that song, there's food in the storehouse. I'm not talking about soup, beans, and crackers. I'm talking about the word of God. We're never running out. We got plenty of this thing. Oh, my, my, my. We're so blessed with the word of God. I think you forget that you got so many blessings. We let this world just bog us down too much. We got the revelation of the hour. There's no other people that have the revelation of the hour like we have it. And what I mean by that, there's no other age that had a revelation of the hour like we have it. There's churches around the world that preach the message. Praise God for it. Praise God that we can recognize God in flesh right now. Because that, oh my, my. You know, Pastor Moore, you're even talking about, you know, serving God and even being dependable. And you putting a call out to us brothers, and we're going to be talking about some different stuff. And I thought, you know, that is a way that you can measure a little bit what somebody loves something. I mean, it's you know, we talk about natural types, and I can see it. You know what I mean? If somebody starts dating somebody and they get a little flitter in their eye and they're a little happier when that person's around. Their mood is affected by that person. They're thinking about that person's eating habits and when they go up and when they go down. That's just natural. Why? Because you care. So you show that you care by wanting to be invested in that person in time. So if it's easy to see there, you know, even Brother Warren read it. He thought, if you can know what to give your kids with nothing, you can know what to give your kids. How much more would God know to give you? If I can see how you love somebody that's on this side, if I can see how you can love something that is not giving you the word of God, that is not bringing you words of eternal life, if I can see how you can love something like that, then it should be a little clear on what you do with the word of God. There should be some similar characteristics. It should be a priority. It should matter. You should care. You should care when the doors open. You should care when they close. You should care when the lights come on. You should care when they turn off. You should care who's preaching. You should care enough to want to hear it. You should care enough to remove any kind of distractions that might get in your way of hearing what God has to say. Oh, I could be at work, and if my wife calls, now, not so much anymore, because we talk to each other a lot during the day. Sorry about that. But we do. I got different moments at the time. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? She's like, nothing. I'm like, nothing either. Okay, I got to go. Click. But it's just what we do. But there are certain times I say, I'm not available, right? I got a meeting or this and that. If she was to call during that time, I am going to remove every distraction and say, what do you need? Right? That's somebody I care about. That's somebody I love. I want to remove any distraction. I want to make sure I hear this message as crystal clear as possible. The next words out of her mouth could be instructions to come here, go there, do this, do that. Same with her. She's at work and I call and she said, you know, they're going to be doing this or that. And I call during a certain time. She knows, okay, this might be a call to go do something, to move. Right? And that's just on earthly stuff. That's on temporary stuff. It could be about a car, a house, or any of those kind of things. Those are temporal. The word of God is coming across their path and you're letting distractions get in the way? I'm confused. Maybe you don't understand how important these words are. Maybe you don't understand that this is words of eternal life, that you should remove distractions. I don't care if I remember holding my little kid's mouth. I was like, I need you to be quiet. I need you to cut it out because I got to hear what is happening right now because this is important for the whole house. If I drive this car off the ditch because of y'all making a mistake, you're going to kill all of us. I need everybody to sit down and be quiet. This is important. This is the most important time of our life. When you come in here, why is it so important? Because we got a big job to do that nobody else could have done. We're literally waiting on the words of the rapture to say, let's get out of here. Every service we're waiting on that. Every service we come with that expectation. And it could happen outside of service. But I'm believing that the more of us get together and start fellowshipping and getting this thing together, I believe God's obligated to move. He said, where there's two or three, I'd be in the midst. So I know he's moving. So I come with that expectation. Every service that this is the most important thing that's on my plate is hearing the word of God. Why would I even want to come here and waste my time anyway? Why? That always confused me about unbelievers. They hang on long enough just to get something to complain about. Just stop coming. Just go home. You're wasting your time and mine. Because one, I don't care what you're getting, and you're wasting your time coming. Because they want to leave with a story or this or that and get some gossip. You're just wasting your time. If you don't believe the word of God, just leave. And you know, Pastor Moore, you talked about it, and we talk about it and different things. And thought it's hard for a believer to know what unbelievers are thinking. Because they're crazy. They're crazy. You're a sane person. They're crazy. Amen. Things that trip up unbelievers, you wouldn't even let it bother you. It wouldn't even, you know, but there is a group of people that hear the word of God, and they can yell amen. And inside, they're like, I hear it, but amen. Right? There's people like that. Why? How can I say that? Because I see them walk away. And then I hear them talk about why they walked away. And I go, that tripped you up? That got you so messed up that the word of God was no longer important? What somebody wore or said or did made the word of God of none effect to you? Those are your traditions that you put out there that made the word of God of none effect. But if you just trust God at his word, all that other stuff falls away. And I thank God that I got that revelation of that. Because nobody else, you know, there's people that go back and look at like Luther's life and Wesley's life, Branham's life, Brother Childers' life, Martin's life, Irena's life. They look at their life as if that's going to be vindication that they were serving God. It doesn't matter if they smoked, drank, or whatever all that is. What do they do when the word came across their path? That is the only measure of a believer. Amen. Is what do you do when the word crosses your path? And you know what I love about this? And I'm wrapping up here. What I love about this is that everybody's timetable is going to be different. You know, you could sit here for 15 years and just be collecting the word, collecting the word, collecting the word, collecting the word. And then that one revelation just hit in there and it'll tie 20 years together. And you'd be sitting here, you could be sitting here for 5 months and then something will just hit, tie those 5 months together. But guess what it does? It ties us all to the same destination. It ties us all back into the body. It makes Brother Branham's messages sound that much better. It makes listening to Brother Children's messages sound that much better. It makes coming to church on a Wednesday night sound that much better. When you get a revelation, it helps your whole everything because it becomes that guiding tower on everything else. It puts your flesh in line when it doesn't want to be in line. It puts your spirit realm in line when it doesn't want to be in line. That soul is a control tower.
Amen.
Oh, and it does it automatically. You say, well, Brother Jay, how can you say that? Because it'll get you to the house. It'll put everything in control. You may want to stay home in your flesh and go, well, I'm sleepy. That soul's like, we got to eat. We got to eat. Get up, wipe your face. We got to eat. Get in the car. We got to eat. You may be thinking this and that about somebody and get in here and go, that song start going in the presence. All hearts are mended. You're like, you know, that's right. They didn't do me that wrong. I can forgive them. And then you see Brother Skyler getting out of the way and you go, I can get out of the way too. Let me sing a little bit. As things start just falling away, all that is just worship getting you ready for the word. That's all we're here for. That just gets you ready for the word. Then the word comes across and like, rah! And you're like, amen! I don't know why I ever thought about staying home. This is nothing but the truth. I'm glad I'm here tonight. I feel better. Then they say, feeling so much better. You're right, I do. I had a cough before I got here, but I feel like I can push on a little bit. I ain't tired yet. They say, you want to sit down? No, I think I'll stand a while. I've been enjoying this thing. Why? Because the word of God is sweet to you. We got a love affair with God that nobody can take away from me. We got a revelation that the world didn't give it. So if the world didn't give it, that's why I love that song. If the world didn't give it, then the world can't take it away. Oh, and this is what I love about having a revelation too. And I'm going to read a scripture here in a second. What I love about having a revelation, when God gives you a revelation, not even you can go back on it. That's what I see sometimes. People start contradicting themselves. I say, you're contradicting your own revelation. You said God was here, and then you said he left. That's not how my God moves. The word is still here. You left. So who was wrong? Either you never saw God, or God never talked to you. It's one or the other. You never saw him, or he's never talking to you. Because you can't be a believer and contradict yourself. You got to agree with the word. And when the word comes across your path, you got to agree with it. I just simply agree with every word. And even it said over in Romans. He said, let me go over here. Let me find it. Romans 8. Yeah, this is Pastor Morris' neck of the woods over there. That's his neck of the woods. I am going to get there. I'm not going to get there. But it talks about that over in Romans. I'm going to go over somewhere else. I'm going to just read here and get done. Don't take too much too long. I'm going to read over here in Ephesians chapter 4. And it's talking about what the ministry is here for. Because it's a very important point that adds into what we're here to do. We're here to bring the revelation. We're here to preach the word. That's our job. But what that revelation should do, it should make you better. It's for the unity. It's to bring us together. So I'm going to read that scripture because, you know, the more you look at it, you know, that you can't fight progress. You know, anybody that's wanting to fight progress, you're not hearing from God. God's telling you to step up and be a backbone, step up and be a backbone. God's telling you to do this, step up and do that. Don't fight that progress because that's what the ministry's here for. So talking about over in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. That's that revelation. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I like how it goes here. It says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But we speaking in truth and love may grow up into him all things which is head, even Christ. God bless you. Because that's what the ministry is here for. It's for the perfecting and edifying of the saints. I don't have a message that's my own message. I don't have a thought that's my own thought. I'm here to bring forth, when Pastor Moore's talking about God's revelation being a manifestation, that's what we're preaching about. That's what we're talking about. Because the revelation of the hour should get clearer and clearer every single service. Everything should be able to be broken down so that a believer goes, that ain't nothing but the truth. And if something was a question to you, hopefully we got an answer for you. I look at it, I go, hopefully every service, when I, this is my prayer, every time I'm preaching, I go, I want to take, like Pastor Moore did, because he preached so much. If I can just take one little thing and say, now this is clear to me, let me share it with you. And I'm bringing it with no controversy. I'm not bringing it here for a fight. I'm not bringing it here for an argument. I'm not even bringing it here for a debate. This is not even a questions and answer service. I'm sharing my knowledge of the mystery. I know it to be true because God told me. This is my commission that God gave me. God gave me the word of God, and I want to share it with you. And all of our licks of fire get together, and we worship God in spirit and in truth. That's how we worship God. We all bring our licks of fire together. But I love the fact that through everything that we go through, all the stuff that we can read, all the stuff that we can study, all the stuff that we can listen to, that when we come in here, God speaks to us directly. That there's no fancy this or fancy that, homonetics or nothing. God speaks plain English to me and tells me exactly what he wants, so I don't have to leave here with questions and doubts on whether or not I got it. You should be able to understand that you have a revelation of the hour because it's a clear understanding. Not because you've memorized the scripture, not because you memorized the verse, but you have a clear understanding. You're able to hear the words that were being preached, and all you could simply say was amen. That's it. That's the requirement. Because God's word has been moving like that through each age to get to this revelation of the hour, so much so that it says in the book of Revelations that blessed are those that read and understand the words of this prophecy and keep. And keep, and keep, because that means the time is at hand. We're keeping the words of that prophecy. We're not holding back on it. We're not laying waste to it and saying, well, no, God ran out of time, or go, I'm going to settle. No, I'm going to keep the word of God just like he said it. We're going to prophesy again, not a new prophecy, what God already told us to say. The same prophecy. I'm not tired of it. I enjoy it every time it gets preached. And that's why I love, even when you get to that, you can look at it and say it's a progression. That progression didn't come until the end. That progression didn't come until the book of Revelations. The seals had to be opened up. That's how we got what we got. We didn't get this on our own. And I love how even Brother Branham could say, you know, don't add to or don't take away. But then he'd say on one time, he'd say, Branham Tabernacle, we came as far as we came in the written word. Okay, so if you can't add to and you can't take away, and you've come as far as you came in the written word, there has to be something else. There has to be a revelation that takes place that blends that all together, that makes that Bible a new Bible. I don't need to get another Bible or add to the Bible. When you get a revelation, this becomes a new Bible. Because now you're able to read the whole thing. You're able to look through every book, every story, every scripture, every testimony, and see how it applies to you. I can look at John and see how it applies to me. I can look at Moses and how it matches up. I can look at even the story of the children of Israel coming out and going to the promised land. I stepped over into out of that thing. I'm one of the two. I'm Caleb and Joshua. I was the only one that listened. The rest of the church world, they don't listen. They don't keep up with God, but Caleb and Joshua, they kept up with him even from their youth. Oh, my. See, now you can see those types, and now you can get excited about those testimonies, because now the Bible's a new Bible. Now I can even read over in Genesis and see how Cain couldn't pick it up no matter what. There was nothing Cain could have done to be able to pick up the word of God. It was no part any. And you can take that even over into when Jesus saw those Pharisees and said, why can't you hear my words? Oh, because it has no part in you. And I say all that to say this, saints, thank God that there's a part in you that is able to pick this up, no matter how plain it is or how high it is or how low it is or whatever way God wants to bring it. You have a receiver in you that allows you to pick up the word of God for this hour, because it wasn't even available until now. Amen. Oh, the quickening power could have moved all it wanted to. When the full word wasn't available, rapturing faith wasn't available. You had to have the full word of God to even have the token available. Amen. Even Brother Branham said, you know, the new birth is this, the new to that. He said, it's the token. Yeah. We got to have the token. Now, you can use those terms interchangeably when you have a revelation on them. Right. Yeah, the token is a new birth. The clear understanding is a token. You can, if you have a revelation on it. But if you don't, those terms are different. Amen. Now, it's thunders and lightning. It's all those kind of things. But I'm just turned on by the word that I get. I'm turned on by the preaching that we get here. I'm turned on by the church that I get to come to, because there's no other place I'd rather be. To be able to serve God with a group of believers and not by myself. Oh, my. God said over in Genesis, when he talked about everything being this and that, the only thing that he said that was not good, and he said, man shouldn't dwell alone. Thank God I don't got to serve God alone. Thank God I can serve God with a group of believers that believe it, that have it, that understand that this is the revelation of the hour, that understands the time that we're living in, and that knows that it's almost closing time. It's almost time to get out of here. And we're expecting it at every turn. I expect it when I wake up. I expect it when I lay down. I expect it at the service. Where does that expectation come from? Because God's been building my revelation, my faith, every single service. And then without this revelation, it's impossible to please God. I praise God. God bless you.
Helps you to appreciate what the ministry's for. Some people don't realize how much you do need the ministry. And you know, the later we get in the hour that we're living in, the more critical it is to have that ministry. And the more critical it is to have it, the less people want it.
Yeah, that's true.
I was sitting there listening to Jay, and I was thinking back and thinking in the Bible, everybody that's ever served God at some point in their ministry, whatever the ministry was, the numbers dwindled. Closer to the end of the ministry they got, the numbers dwindled. I was sitting there thinking about it because, you know, Jay was talking about what the ministry's here to do, and that's to bring the Word of God. But the people don't want the Word of God. They want a form of godliness. That's what Jesus said. And I started thinking about it. Now, I was thinking about all the prophets. You know, when they get to the end, it's just them. Yeah. All Elijah had was Elisha.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody else left. And I was just, sitting there just thinking through the scripture. And every person that ever served God, by the time they got to the end of their ministry, they were alone. Isn't that saying something?
Uh-huh.
It's not a lot of people going to believe this.
No.
It's not a lot of people going to want to go all the way.
No.
And you got to have so much of a revelation and a determination that I don't care who comes or goes, you're going to keep walking.
Yeah.
Think of it. Tell me who. David? Mm. Jesus? Mm. Paul? The disciples? Mm. Thought about Brother Branham?
Nope.
Thought about Brother Childers?
Nope.
Thought about me? Very few. And the fact that you get to the end of your ministry and it just narrows and narrows, and because, you know, when you're in the middle of your ministry, you want people to come. You're excited about what you have. And you want to share this. But the further along you get in your ministry, what you find out is there's not many people that really, really want this. And I was sitting there trying to think of one person, one group, anybody. Hello. Think of yourself. You're in the middle of your ministry right now. And the more serious you get with serving God, the more it becomes a conflict of interest to your friends and your relatives. You don't have a lot of people that really want the truth. And it kills you because you love them. And you die 1,000 deaths. I die every time one person walks out of this church. Kills me, because I so love this and so believe this and so want them to be a part of it, but I can't stop preaching because somebody can't go. And that's the way it is with the ministry. The ministry will push through everything, because the Word of God is the most important thing you have in your life. It's more important than your job, your career, your neighborhood, your family, your friends. You'll let every bit of that go for the love of God.
Amen.
And that's what makes us different than the rest of the world. The rest of the world sell out. They want money, popularity, and women. That's what Brother Branham said, those three things, they'll sell out to that. And they get those things, but they lose the Word.
Right.
You can't have the Word and have the world.
No. Yeah.
So Jay, you're right. We preach it straight here, and people just fall off left and right. Around the world, some stay, some don't. Some want it, some don't. But you know what? We got to preach it. Like I said, I will keep the revelation that God gave to Brother Childers. You say, well, what about Brother Branham? It's the same revelation that Brother Branham had. But I know that angel of the Lord talked to him in his bedroom. And what he gave him in 73 is the same thing we're eating on now. But we have more information on it. And we're still feasting on the same revelations. And that's why I said, I've got to stay true to the doctrines that were given in this hour, because the world don't want it.
No.
The church world don't want it. The message people don't want it.
No.
A lot of people at Fairborn Community Tabernacle don't want it. But as for me and my house, I'm going to stay with what God has given us. Because it's a revelation. I'm not just doing this because I'm friends with Brother Childers, or I'm not doing this because I had never met Brother Branham. So I'm not doing this for that. I'm doing it because it's a revelation. Amen. It's a clear understanding. I know my place. I know what my job is. And I have not failed to stay true to that heavenly calling. Amen. And every believer has to say the same thing. Amen. Because your ministry, we all have a ministry. Right. You know, you say, I'm looking for ministers. I want all of y'all to minister.
Right.
You think, well, I'm out of it. I'm not a minister. Brother Branham said, you sisters, you mothers are ministers at the home to the children. Somebody's got to minister to those kids. Somebody's got to minister to the home. Somebody's got to minister to the body. So, yeah, I'm looking for ministers. But don't get caught up in a pastor and preacher and 5 foot. I need somebody that's going to serve God. 100%.
Amen.
That's what we're looking for. And only the bride will be able to go all the way and do that. Everybody else on one way or the other on the side, or they'll eventually just fade away. But thank God for revelation. Because if you got a revelation, you ain't going nowhere. You're not even in control of your revelation. Yeah, you're not in control of it. You didn't give it. You didn't reveal it to yourself. And you can't keep it.
Amen.
Paul said, even if I come preaching any other gospel, this thing is so sure, the revelation is so sure, that if I come preaching anything other than what I've already preached to you, curse it. That's what I say. Because it's got to be the same revelation. That's what Paul knew. Paul knew that, there was nothing else. He knew that it was going to be what God gave him. And once God gave it to him, he knew it was God. It was a revelation from heaven, and it will never change. Do you realize my revelation has not changed in 40 years?
Amen.
You think they do? Go back. The tapes are there.
Right.
We got the evidence. Amen. Brother said I preached marriage and divorce the same way I did 14, 15 years ago, or however many years it was. Yes, because I preached the revelation of the truth.
Amen.
If you're not lying, you don't have to worry about it. The truth doesn't change. We have had the word preached to us. We have been blessed. Most people don't want it, but the elect want it. And thank God for it, Jay. Thank God that we have had the truth preached to us. And thank God that we didn't leave it in a man. I didn't put it in me and say, you know, y'all got to come in me. No, no, no. I wasn't even satisfied until it's in you.
Amen.
It's not just about you come follow me. Let this Christ be in you. I haven't done my job if I hadn't put him in you.
Amen.
If I just pointed to me and say, I got the revelation, I'm this and I'm that, and you got to, no. That's not about that.
Amen.
I want to know your knowledge of the mystery. I want you to stand on your own feet. Your body change is going to happen because you say it.
Yeah, amen.
Don't wait on, don't hang on to me. Don't come hopping on my back trying to get your body change. You got to have it.
Amen.
It's an individual relationship. It comes by the Word of God. It comes through the Word of God. It's revealed by the Word of God, but it has to happen to you as an individual. And the first thing it's going to do is tie you to everybody else.
Yep.
It's going to tie you to this body. It's going to tie you to that body. It's going to tie you to the Word of God. And when you get there, when you get that, it's about you and God alone.
Amen.
That's it. That's what you got. You got something to say? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll get you a prayer call here. Because Brother Branham told us that if you get the people to believe, not even cancer, throat, lungs, liver, whatever, can stand in the way. And we are believers. We've seen God move. We're not even saying, oh, we're hoping. We've seen God move. We've got, like I said Sunday, Brother Branham was talking about the rapture, and he said, look at the evidence of what God's done in our presence. Look at what God's done in our presence. We've had people healed. We've had people have cancer, and all of a sudden it's gone. We've had people get sick and recover. We've had all kind of things come our way, and we're still believers. So, sis, come on. We're going to pray, and you're going to pray as a believer. Lay your hand right there, and we're going to take this to your dad. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening as believers, knowing that by your stripes, according to your word, we're already healed. Father, our sisters come to have this prayer cloth prayed over so that she could take it to her father and curse that cancer that's trying to take over his lungs and his throat, Lord. Ask you to move it out of the way. And Lord, let healing come to his body that she can come back and testify to us of your glory and what you've done. We're standing as believers, not looking at what the doctors say, not looking at the circumstances, not even looking at what it looks like. But Lord, your word said, by your stripes we're healed. So we're asking you to let it be so. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, musicians. I sing this song a lot, but I like it a lot. I keep falling in love with him over and over. Every service. Every service. It's like I never heard it before. Amen.
Pastor Mark? Yeah. I couldn't even pass up this opportunity. I just want to thank God for another service to being here. And I love this word so much.
Mm-hmm.
I love how he ties everything together. It doesn't matter like what's going on. It's beautiful.
Amen.
I just want to get my time in. I love this message. I believe it. And
amen. That's the way it works. Amen. Yes, Dawn.
I believe your shadow even could, you know, do that.
Biblical.
So pull one of those out, and I'm going to claim for my sister.
Amen. Stand in the gap for your sister. Amen. Well, we are believers.
Amen.
You know what, Dawn? There's two of them. They're sort of sticking together. I said, I'm going to give you two. Amen. I didn't fight it. It wouldn't come apart. And I said, she must need two. God knows what he's doing. Oh, yes. We are definitely believers in the word. And we're going to pray for it, too. Lord Jesus, according to your word, Father, the apostles, they cut their clothes into strips. And Lord, they said that just walking across the pathway of the people, that their shadow would cross the people and they would be healed. And Lord, they cut their clothes into aprons and the strips, and people were using it as a faith to believe in the word. And Father, we've got some here that have a need. Our sisters, Lord, dealing with cancer. Doctor isn't giving her much hope, but Lord, where there's breath, there's hope, and where there's hope, there's you. And Father, this other sister that's also need this cloth. Hadn't seen Dawn in a long time, but Lord, there's a reason why she crossed her path. And Lord, this could be that very reason. We're sending forth the word to her. Ask you to touch these cases. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I keep falling in love with him. Over and over. Don't forget, Saturday, 9 o'clock, brothers here. And then Sunday morning, we'll be back here for services. John, musicians practice Thursday night. And remember, just remember Brother Siebert. I sent him a text this evening, but I haven't heard back. I didn't expect really to hear anything from him. But just keep him in your prayers and remember him. And John said everything's ready for Saturday, so I'm not going to worry about it. Because John's done this a long time. Amen. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. For he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Oh, I keep falling in love over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. For he gets sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love over and over and over and over again. Yes, I keep
over and over again. Oh, I keep falling in love with you over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with you over and over and over and over. You're just